Well, it's a good time to be alive, praise Jesus. Amen. Tonight we're going to be having a little conversation about some identification. And, the last little while, it's always been a big conversation in the news and in the media about identification and who you are and what you are. And a lot of times people are trying to dictate, and social media is always trying to dictate what you should look like or what you should be or what this and that. And it just seems like there's a lot of pressure coming from all different angles everywhere about who you are and what you should be, what you should be doing, what you should believe, what you should, just should, But the thing is, a lot of times, it's a very skewed picture that is presented to us on what we should be. And the world's point of view and God's point of view is very, very different. Can I get an amen? See, I very much so prefer God's point of view on things, more so than the world view. There's a lot of people have a very distorted opinion on their self-image. And this is something that a lot of people, young and old, face, I'm sure at one point or another in your lifetime, you felt less than about yourself. Not so great. Am I right? You just never felt like you were up to snuff. Things weren't always great. You weren't always happy with, for whatever reason, Even right now, you might be struggling with some thoughts and about some stuff. Man, I wish I could do this better, or, I wish I was this, I wish I was that. Well, settle down for a little bit, And let's have a little conversation about this. The Bible reveals to us that the majority is not always right. And I'm very thankful for that. Because you look at this world, you look at the majority, the majority is crazy. I'll tell you straight up, the majority is crazy. And when it comes to the things of God, let me tell you something. It's not always the coolest thing or the most easiest thing to go with the things of God, but it is the correct thing to do. You see, when you're going after the things that God has placed in your life and God has for you, well, then things are going to start changing in your life. So this is kind of where our conversation is going to be headed tonight, is that we need to be seeing ourselves in the light that God sees us. Because let me tell you something. Our God don't see us as mess-ups or screw-ups or mistakes or anything of the sort. See, God sees us as his prized possession, as his very own children. He created me and you with a purpose. Now, it's up to us on how we want to interpret that, if we want to go after the things of God or if we want to kind of try and do things on our own. And he will let us do that. He'll let us, try things on our own for a bit, He'll try, he'll let us, he's a gentleman. We have something called a free will, And we can go off and do things, but let me tell you a little secret. It's a lot better if we choose to go after the things of God and follow his plan, his path, his direction, his purposes for our life, than for us trying to figure out, wandering around. I believe there's a certain group of, people in the desert in the Bible. They were wandering around for 40 years trying to find, the promised land, When really it was like, a three-day journey it could have taken them, But 40 years? Come on now. I don't want to be going for a walk for 40 years. I go for a half hour, 45-minute walk with Kendra and the dogs, and I'm like, I'm done. I'm sorry, that's I'm done. I'm just wandering around here. I need a purpose here, It was like, not to mention, I'm not built for walking, for leisure, I'm trying to, but to me, it's not leisure. That's another form of work. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah? Oh, yeah. Raise your hands. We're in church. Be honest. There we go. See? But in the Bible, we see a group of people. Let's turn over in our Bibles to Numbers chapter 13. It's always funny because, the majority is always trying to, or social media or TV is always trying to sell us an idea, right? It's funny because you ever watch on TV the Bear commercials, and they always show people having the time of their life at that party. Everything is just so, but they never show the morning after, do they? Facts, right? I mean, everyone, woohoo, you know? And they never see, well, where's he waking up at? Some guy outside on a bench somewhere passed out or, you know, they always show. And you know, it's such a skewed, you got to see the whole picture. You see, when it comes with the things of God, God shows us, you know, the good things. Yeah? It might be tough in the beginning, but there's a reward for us being faithful and following suit. All right? Did you find our scripture verse? Over, what'd I say? Where are we going? Numbers. Here we go. Numbers chapter 13, verse 31. All right, let's get up on the screen here. Now, but the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. So this is when the 12 spies went into and had a look at this land, right? And this was what belonged to God's people. But the report came back from 10 of them. It's like these, yeah, it's true. You know, the reports are true. There's lots of good stuff in there. But the armies are huge. You know, there's strong people. They're tall, you know. They're giants. They're crazy tall. You know, they'll defeat us. We can't take them. But two guys had a different report. Go back to verse 30. Now, here's Caleb. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once to take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. You see, Caleb, he seen it from the point of view that we can do this. He wasn't deterred by the obstacles that was in the way. Because first of all, they were promised the land. It belonged to them. Now the Bible is full of promises from God for me and you. Now let me tell you something. Why are we allowing little giants to stand in our way of seizing the land? Well, because 10 other people came back and said, we can't do it, we can't do it, we can't do it, we can't do it. Let me tell you something. All throughout life, people will be saying, you can't do it, you can't do it. They said that about Faith City Church. You can't do it, you won't do it. It won't be, you know, what are you doing? You can't do it, you can't do it. You don't believe me? Sit down and talk to Pastor Roma about it. He'll tell you some stories. You know, him and Miss Anita, they've been there, done that. Well, look around. You're here. I think we're doing it. Where's Ed? You're doing it. You know? You're doing it. So, these guys that explored the land, they disagreed with what Caleb was saying. But you see, their view, they were looking at it from a natural standpoint. They didn't believe, or they didn't have that understanding, or they weren't thinking clearly about that God's got them. If God said that this belongs to them, well, you need to go in and take it. God's not going to dangle something in front of you that you can't reach and not get and put up in this impossible wall that you can't do. No, God's going to make a way when there seems there is no way, you know? God's going to do some stuff. And he's going to turn some situations around. But you see, the thing is that we got to start seeing ourselves through God's eyes. If God put it in your heart to do it, don't think less of yourself that you can't do it. Because God wouldn't have placed it in your heart if he knew you could not do it. He knows that you can do it. A lot of you are being held back in life because, you know, you're looking at yourself and be like, oh, I'm not good enough for this. I'm not good enough for that. I'm going to be honest with you, you know. A lot of times I struggle with stuff. Man, I'm not good enough for this. I can't do that. I've had those thoughts quite often. But, you know, when you start putting it away, it's amazing what happens. You know, the doors and windows of opportunity that will open up to you, it's just crazy. I found myself in some crazy situations, meeting some really cool people, you know, doing some really cool things. And, you know, I look back at it and be like, why? How did this happen? You know, it's only me, you know. But it's so cool that God sets up these things. When we start taking off our glasses and put our God's glasses on and sees us the way that God sees us, come on now, things are going to start changing in your life. Because, first of all, God don't make mistakes. God don't mess up. He's got a sense of humor. You just look around this room, you see that. But you don't make mistakes. You know? And even in Scripture, you look at it. If he can use a donkey, he can use me. Right? He made a donkey talk, didn't he? And there was even threats of rocks crying out. You know? So come on, I think he can use me. And you. I don't want some rock crying out for me. I don't want some donkey talking, you know, on my behalf. Anybody in here wants some farm animals talking on their behalf to do what you're supposed to be doing? I think that's pretty humiliating, you know. It's like, fine, then I'm going to get that chicken over there, and he's going to go, you know. It's better stay away from Ernie. All right, let's keep going here. You know, the world don't understand who we are in Christ. And the world don't understand our identification because they don't know who God is and they don't know who Jesus is. And in the Bible, it even states this as well. Turn over to John chapter 1. This is a very common scripture, but let's just look at it again. John chapter 1, verse 10. It says, he was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world, what? Did not know him. Verse 11. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Unfortunately, a lot of things haven't changed since back then, because you look at the corruption going on in the world, you know, if they actually knew who Jesus was, there'd be a lot different outcome in a lot of different scenarios. I mean, countries, whole nations would be totally different if leaders had an understanding of who God was in their lives. Are you listening to me? And if people, if the churches even had an understanding of who Jesus was in their life. You know what I'm saying? If we know who Jesus is, if we got an understanding of who he is and what he's done for us and what legally belongs to me and you, because we are the righteousness of God in Christ, we are healed, we are blessed, you know? We have peace, we have joy, we have love, we have all those things that belongs to us. You know, God designed us not to be broken, disgusted, and sick, but yet to have a life full of wonderful things. You know, God didn't create me and you to be sad and depressed all the time. That's straight from the pit. That's where that's from. You know, and yes, there are situations that really do bite. There are things that take place, and you're allowed to have feelings, but we don't allow ourselves to be ruled by our feelings. And that's something that we have to understand, because God sees you as a triumphant child of the king. You're a winner. You're an overcomer. That's who you are. You're not someone that's a second rate, that's just, you know, oh, woe is me. No, because your heavenly Father is the creator of the universe, the great I am. Now, the world don't know that, but me and you, we do, because the Word of God knows it. So we need to get into the Word of God and see what all this is about, and see who we are. Because the Bible is clear instructions and shows us who we are in him. What, there's 150 or something in him scriptures? In whom? In the beloved? You know, all those? I remember when we were at Rhema, you know, had the great revelation of this in Bible school, you know, and sitting in our class, and they, you know, there's a little book you get in him. And I remember me and Kendra were sat in class one day, and they talked about it. I was like, wow, that's really cool. So a couple days later, walk into her room, and Kendra sat down to our desk. And she's there writing like a madwoman. I'm like, what are you doing? She goes, I'm writing it all the in him scriptures. You know? And that really struck with me because, you know, Kendra, she sat down, got all the in him scriptures, and she started to write them out by hand. You know? Now let me tell you something about Miss Kendra. She knows who she is. She does, you know? And a lot of times when I get caught up in my own funk, she'll straighten me right out real quick because she'll show scriptures and tell me things and, you know, it might be very subtle, but she'll tell me stuff and like, hey, Steve, smarten up. You know, that's only feelings. You're not ruled by feelings. Praise God for that, you know? She's not afraid to tell me where to go and how to get there. Amen. She's back there amening me through. Look. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. You see, back in the day when Jesus showed up, I mean, it was not the most magnificent way for a king to show up now, was it? It wasn't what the world was expecting, you know? Now, we've seen lots of great things through history, and I mean, he's a pretty magnificent God, you know? But today, we have responsibility to help people come to the knowledge of who he is. You know, the mandate to go teach my people faith that was given to Brother Hagin was also carried through Pastor Roma, all the graduates, everybody that's ever sat under that teaching. You know, we've all been given the same mandate to go teach my people faith. Guys, our identification and who we are in Christ is crucial for people's success in becoming Christians and becoming born again and living that spirit-filled full life that we so desire. Because you can have a life, or you can have a life more abundant. I prefer the more abundant. That's the life I like, out of an abundance. I love abundance. Anybody else in here like abundance? You know, what does abundance mean? More, right? More than enough. You got lots. And it's just not for me, so I'm greedy and I got everything on my own. It's so that I can bring people along with me and give out, right? Out of an abundance we give. Are you listening to me? Are you gone home? You know? Come on. Out of an abundance we can give. Around here, I think we got a lot of people that understand this concept because out of an abundance they give. You know? There's a lot of blessed people floating around this church. Do I have any blessed people here tonight? 2.5. Praise Jesus. Come on. Do I have any blessed people here tonight? Well, give a shout of praise to the Lord. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Do you know who Jesus is? All right, let's turn over to Matthew. No. All right. Does anybody know who Jesus is in here? All right. Well, we're going to do a little social experiment in here. Who's brave? Caleb, who's Jesus?
He's the Creator.
All right, the Creator. All right, someone else. Shout it out.
Redeemer.
Redeemer? Ooh, I like that word. King of Kings? From the camera operator. Miss Joanne, what'd you say? Son of God? Okay. Florence? Prince of Peace?
Our Savior.
All right, come on. Who is he?
Our healer.
All right, who else? Who is Jesus?
Our Redeemer.
That was already said.
Okay.
Who is Jesus?
Our Rock.
Our Rock? That's a good one. The Resurrection. All right, who else? Somewhere in the back here. That's a lot. The Way, the Truth, and the Life. Okay. The Messiah? He is love? Ooh, yeah. Anyone else? Come on. Son of Man? Okay.
True Vine?
The Branch? Well, who else is he? Everlasting Father?
Soon coming King?
My best friend.
Oh, there you go.
King of Kings,
Lord of Lords.
Lord of Lords.
Alpha and Omega. Here we go. Woo! Who else is he? Come on.
Head of the church?
No, that's Miss Anita. No! Your strength? Yeah. Joy, truth, counselor, dayspring. Resurrection and life. Redeemer. That was already said. Okay, we're all in the back. Just awesome. That's my favorite answer thus far right there. Just awesome. Yeah. See, those are some really cool words describing our Jesus, right? And we could stay here. Herbert Lockyer. I don't know if you've ever heard that. That's my king. And he goes on for about, what is it, almost 10 minutes? And he uses some very descriptive words. And I wish I would have thought about this earlier so we could have played it now, because you'd all be up dancing around and shouting, because he's trying to describe our king. Now let me tell you something. All those words that we talked about, Jesus actually transcribes us as well, because we're a part of him. So guess what? My favorite word, he's awesome, we're awesome. All right? I mean, Jesus came and he gave us love. He gave us peace. All those things that he is, we have because of him. We are redeemed. We are saved. We are no longer bound by sin, death, sickness, disease, depression, whatever. We're no longer bound by those things. Now, the world is trying to tell us, you need to have some issue. You can't be normal without having something. Right? Well, Jesus is telling you, buddy, you're healed. You're blessed. Yeah? Okay, the world might say you have this, but this is what the Word of God says. This is what I say about you, that you are blessed. You are healed. You are whole. See, when we, like I say, I'm going to say it again. Once we start seeing ourselves through Jesus' eyes and start understanding, it's like, you know what? I am not broke and disgusted. I belong to Christ. I'm a king's kid, man. I got more than enough. He looks after me. He loves me. He blesses me. All right. Here's another example of somebody who didn't realize that they were blessed until they got a good look. They stopped and looked. Judges chapter 6. Turn over there. Judges chapter 6. Is this okay tonight, or do you want to go home already? That's good? All right. Judges chapter 6, verse 9. We're going to go right to verse 16, I believe, is it? Yep. All right, here we go. Marathon. I rescued you from the Egyptians and from all who oppressed you. I drove out your enemies and gave you their land. Woo! I told you, I am the Lord your God. You must not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live. But you have not listened to me. Ooh. All right, let's keep going. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree of Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan whatever that says. Gideon, son of Joash, was thrashing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." "Sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt, but now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites?" Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you." Yeesh. "But Lord," Gideon replied, "how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family." The Lord said to him, "I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man." Gideon did not know the greatness that was on the inside of him. And if you read the story of Gideon, you find out some pretty cool things happened. Now, he thought that he was less than. But you see, God seen what he was capable of. And I'm going to give you a spoiler alert here, okay, about Gideon. All right? He won. They defeated the Midianites. With a very small crew, actually. And he's even explaining to himself, "But Lord, you know, like, you know, I am the least. I'm not nothing fancy here. And all my crew that's hanging out with me, they're wimps. I mean, they're not going to be able to do it." But the Lord is like, "Shut up. I got you. I'm telling you, I'm sending you." And I think the Lord has been saying that to some of us in here. It's like, listen, Stop saying no. Stop saying you can't. And start saying, okay, Lord, I'll do it with you. Because let me tell you something. A lot of you are on the cusp of something big in your life right now. And in order for you to make the next big step and blow the doors off this thing is that you got to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it with you. Quit saying, no, I can't do it. No, I can't do it. No, I can't do it. Say, okay, Lord, let's do this together. Because when God is on the inside of you, come on now. This is when there's an explosive force. Pastor Hagin says is when you take natural and the supernatural, mix it together, you make an explosive force for God. Right? So we're here now in the natural. We got God in the supernatural. When you mix that up, boom! You got some devil blasting power right there. Come on now. How many of you got some devil blasting power on the inside of you? How many of you got some, you know, that dunamis power? Come on. That good old devil dynamite. Blow him to bits. Get out of town, devil. Come on. You know, blow him right back to Timbuktu, wherever that is. You know? Every now and then we get some blasting up here. We're sat down in our office and the building shakes and you see the big puff of smoke coming up and I'm like, oh, we're under attack! But there's a pit just across the way here and sometimes they forget to let everyone know that they're blasting. It gets exciting in here sometimes, you know? We start taking, you know, coming against whoever's attacking us. All right, let's keep going here. So good old Gideon, we've seen that his point of view definitely changed. Now, when Gideon started seeing himself, they win. They won. We have to have a healthier picture of ourselves. And when we have a healthier picture of who we are, that determines where you go. That determines your outcome. Because if you only see yourself by barely getting by and hardly doing anything with your life, what are you going to end up doing? Not a heck of a lot now, are you? But if you see yourself, you know, being successful, you little Timmy. Timmy is determined that he is going to be a millionaire. I'm serious. He talks about it. He goes around. I'm rich. I don't know where he got it from, but he just got it on the inside of him. He got it from the Bible. He goes, I'm rich. You know, I'm rich. He goes, I'm going to have $7 million. And he says that phrase with such confidence, it actually scares me. Because I looked at Kendra and I said, this kid's going to be a millionaire. You know? And I don't know if you've ever heard him, you know, go around, but I'm rich. I'm rich. And I don't doubt one little bit that Timmy is going to be a very successful whatever. You know? He's going to be a successful Timmy. Whatever he does, man, he just excels at. He's just something else, you know? Just like that. And he got his mind made up that, Tim, I'm going to have $7 million. You know? And he's got his mind made up that he's going to have it sooner than later. So I don't know if he's going to be, like, peddling chocolate bars in school or if he's going to be, you know, doing something. He's going to be some sort of entrepreneur or doing something. I don't know, you know? But the kid got his mind made up. I'm going to be rich. You know, and it makes me chuckle and laugh, but, you know, the other night after he said that to me, I got to thinking, I'm like, you know, he believes that, he's got that on the inside of him that he's going to be rich. So why not? So I say it too. Timmy, we're rich. I said, you're going to look after Daddy. And he looked at me, no, I'm not. I'm like, excuse me, sir? He goes, just kidding. I'm like, yeah, buddy. Oh, you asked Tim. Tim's pretty determined. Our self-image is often reflected by what we regularly focus on. So if you're focusing on negative things all the time, your self-image is not going to be that great. The Bible is God's way of speaking to me and you, and when we read it, you know, and we get into it more, we start to see how God sees us, and we get a better understanding. It's one thing for somebody to stand up from the pulpit and, you know, try and tell you and talk about it, but it's something else that when we actually grab the scriptures or get it up on your phone or whatever, and you start reading it and start seeing it for yourself, you know, Because right now you're kind of being force-fed, you know? But when you willingly take it and you start reading it and seeing what the Scripture says about it and seeing what God, you know, it's something different about that. You learn, people learn like that, you know? And when we start seeing these things, now, for instance, you know, there's very smart people out there, and they're called sociologists, is that the word? They're a lot smarter than me, okay? I can't even say what they are. But they say our environment affects us in many ways, whether good or bad. So a lot of times, you know, if we're in a negative environment, there's a good chance it's going to affect us in a very negative way. But if we find ourselves in a positive environment, well, it's going to have the opposite outcome. It's going to help us in a positive way, right? And then, you know, this is really not like a world idea. This is a biblical thing. Look at Proverbs chapter 4 for a second. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 23. In the New Living Translation. It says, "My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them, and healing to those to their whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." So pay attention. See what it says. Pay attention to what the Word of God says. Because right in the very end there, it determines the course of your life. So if you don't like the course that your life is on right now, pay attention to the Word of God. It will change. You know? If you're trying to set your own course, you're trying to do your own path, you know, you figure your GPS system is better than God's GPS system, you're wrong. Simple as that. You might not fully understand why God is leading you in a certain way, but that's okay, because you'll understand in the end why. He'll show you when you get there, you know? You don't always understand every step. You always don't know what's next, and which is good, because our measly little brains wouldn't be able to handle it anyway. We'd lose our minds if we knew everything that God had in store for us, you know? Because back when I first started in the ministry, if God showed me everything that we'd be a part of or be doing, I'd be freaking out back then, you know? So I'm glad that he only reveals just a little piece of the puzzle at a time, you know? Anybody in here like puzzles? I don't, not one little bit. Y'all know that. During COVID, me and my mother-in-law, we tried to put a puzzle together, and so help me, I almost lost my salvation over that stupid thing. I can't stand puzzles. And what we do with it, Kendra? We burned it or something? Or I don't know. And people who like puzzles, I'm praying for you. I really am. But it's like, but unfortunately, in my case, you know, this whole walking by faith thing is kind of like God putting pieces of the puzzle in your life, you know? And it takes a little while before you start seeing the whole picture, you know? But once again, the whole picture is something beautiful. If I would have stuck out and made that puzzle, it would have been very nice, you know? Instead, I should have just cut out the box cover and just framed that. It was a pretty picture, you know? And no, I couldn't. I just, oh, puzzles. Oh, man. Pray for me. All right. Well, having a healthy picture of who you are. When we place in our hearts the things that need to be in there, the things of God, it will eventually determine your outcome. Seeing the right things help us get on the proper course. Now, the Apostle Paul, he gave an excellent exhortation to the church in Colossae when he said to them in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. He said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." You see, we're supposed to be around people that are going to encourage us. We're supposed to build one another up. There's another scripture verse that talks about how iron sharpens iron. You know? How we're supposed to be around like-minded people, our own company. You know, there's lots of in there in the scriptures about going back to the people you're supposed to be around. And the people that you're supposed to be around are the ones that God has for you. And so when I look around this room, I see some pretty sharp-looking people, you know? These are the people that we're supposed to be around. They're the ones that's going to pray with you, that's going to laugh with you, that's going to cry with you, that's going to shout hallelujah with you, you know, going to celebrate your victories. Come on now. They're going to pray with you when you're going through a bit of a rough patch. But that's the people that you need in your life, you know? And so, if you're around people like that, that's good-looking people right there. That means you're a good-looking person. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, man, you're good-looking. Turn to your other neighbor and say, man, I'm good-looking. We're running out of neighbors. But when you're around the right people, because let me tell you something, there's sometimes you can have friends, absolutely, and there's, you know, I got friends that are outside the church and stuff, but you kind of got to have boundaries on how far you go with stuff, you know? And you need to be around people that's going to build you up, that's going to encourage you in the things of the Lord. Because when you got positivity flowing, when you're around good people like that, you're going to start feeling good about yourself. You're going to start seeing the way that God sees you. Why? Because they're seeing themselves the way that God sees them. And then stuff's going to start flowing. Things are going to start working. There's going to be a change take place, you know? So ladies and gentlemen, we're soon going to quit here for tonight. We'll pick this up at a later date. There's a lot of information, I know. But I mean, the Lord has so many good things in store for us. The Lord has lots of blessings. But we need to stop cutting ourselves short. We got to stop, you know, missing out on those blessings because we're thinking less than ourselves. Because God's got some cool things. You know, the very next Billy Graham could be sitting in this room. I don't know. You know, he done some pretty cool things, you know. The next Pastor Roma Fisher could be sitting here somewhere, right? I mean, he's done some pretty awesome stuff. Who knows? The Lord's got some cool stuff for me and you to do. So don't cut yourself short on thinking less than of who you are. Everyone stand on your feet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're so good. And Lord, we thank you that you created us with a purpose. The Father God, you created us with your identification. The Father God, we have your DNA flowing through us. The Father, you did not create us any less than. You did not create us as a mistake or a whoops. But we are your prized possession, are your prized creation. Father God, I thank you that healing belongs to us tonight. Lord, I thank you that prosperity belongs to us tonight. Lord, I thank you that joy belongs to us tonight. I thank you that sadness and sickness and disease has to go in Jesus' name. I thank you that all those things from the devil does not belong to us and it doesn't have to stick around anymore. And Father God, tonight we choose to see ourselves the way that you see us. As king's kids, as blessed. As overcoming giants. As overcoming and taking the land that is promised to us. We're more than overcomers. Thank you for creating us to be winners, Lord. And Father, I pray if there's anyone in this place tonight and they're struggling with who they are in you. Father God, they don't know, or they don't want to believe, or whatever it might be, they're struggling with it, the devil's messing with their heads and telling them, no, you're worthless, you're trash. You done that, you're nothing. Lord, I thank you right now that you're giving them clarity. That, Lord, you're telling them that they are awesome. That they are set free, that they are delivered. That they are more than enough. That they are full, out of an abundance. They have the joy, have the love, have the peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just stretch our hands towards heaven. Just worship the Lord. Let's just thank him for his goodness. Come on. Just thank him for who he is in your life. Come on, thank him for making him, for making you in his image. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yeah. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Someone in this room right now. And boy, you've been having a real rough time. I mean, emotionally, you've just been a mess the last little while. I don't know who you are. I just sense that. But the Lord wants you to know, if you let go and let him take control, he's going to lead you right out of that land and into the promised land. Into the place of abundance. Into the place of joy. Yes, Lord. Peace. Peace. Yeah, peace. Hallelujah. Yeah, you're going to have a major life change if you allow him to flow through you. And there's... Yep. Oh, there it is. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just give him praise for that right now. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.